Well, I'll start by saying good morning to everybody. It's kind of nice to see everyone. When I sat down trying to think about, you know, what I was going to talk about today, I started looking through my journal and noticed that there was a lot of stuff in there over the last several months. So I thought I would just kind of go through where my practice has taken me in the last several months. So, as I said, it's been pretty active for me. And I think I have to say that it all started at the Mahasangha retreat. There was a major shift somehow in me. That retreat was very, very powerful. And when I got home and I settled in a little bit, I realized that everything had changed. I had changed my way of thinking, of not thinking, of my perception of things. Somehow things had shifted. And I can't really explain what that was. I just knew and felt that things were profoundly different for me somehow. And the other thing that I came away with from that retreat was I had a pretty strong desire to learn more about the Heart Sutra. And so I went out, I bought a couple books, and I talked with Sarah about it and asked her to kind of guide me along the way. And really, I just sat down and began to read and just to sit with it, and at points trying to sing it, which not so successful. I'm not a singer. And I have to admit that very early on in my practice years ago when I started, I thought of the Heart Sutra as sort of a lovely little chant that we sang during sutra service. And I also knew that I had absolutely no idea what any of it meant. But as I truly began to sit with it, it became clear very quickly that our little sutra, as I thought of it, is so very, very big. So what I was feeling was just the largeness of our sutra. And it just began a feeling in me that it encompasses and it allows all things, everything that I could possibly know, those things I don't know, all at the very same time. And it was actually lovely. It felt like it was becoming a part of me. And as I was kind of going through this and jotting some things down, I have to say that I think that it's always been there. I think that Heart Sutra is like my DNA. It's just woven into everything. And honestly, after starting to sit with this sutra, I don't think really anything is ever going to be the same for me. I began to notice when I first started sitting with it that I felt a space between each and every one of my little particles. And it led to this sort of sense of irrelevance in me, which is really the only way I can think to describe it, but also a sense of permeability. I was just feeling the connectedness of everything. Like, I felt like I was losing my individuality and my selfness somehow, if that makes sense. But also at the same time, somehow gaining everything by allowing that space to bring in all things, you know, everything, all my experiences, my thoughts, my feelings, you know, moment by moment, but allowing space for what is without adding my ideals about how it should be. And in that way, it does allow all things. There was no leaving things out. And then I, a little bit into my study, I've been sitting with, Sarah gave me the Heart Sutra in the Sino-Japanese. And I have to say, I was completely taken with it. The rhythm, the simplicity of it. And then somewhere in that time frame, Sarah dropped in one of Joan's koans. And it says, it's going to get me. When the moon rises in your heart and fills it completely, where does the self go? And the coming together of those two things, brought me to tears. And I remember sitting with tears running down my face and a feeling washing through me that our Heart Sutra was imprinted on each and every one of those tears. And I remember thinking to myself, that's where the self goes, streaming down my face. And there was a moment that I felt of a dropping away. It's hard to describe, but a dropping away where there was no thinking involved. And there was a split second of no thing at all, which allowed for everything to be as it was at that very moment without limitations and without conditions. There was no separation in me from everything. And then I remember sitting there that evening thinking that I was empty, and it was a beautiful moment. And I came across during my reading I've been reading through Red Pine's book about the Heart Sutra, and he also had a little quote in there that sort of deepened this notion in me of nothing being separate. And I think it's from Te Ching, but I have to look that up to be sure. But it says, once you know that images don't exist apart from the mirror, you know that emptiness is not separate from form. And that sat with me during meditation sessions, and it felt like myself and the candle flame on my altar, each of us reflecting the mirror image of one another. Or I feel it when I chant the Japanese, Sino-Japanese version of the Heart Sutra. It feels like it reverberates within me and through me. And I get the sensation of feeling like a little singing bowl. And thinking about this journey over the last few months or so, I find it interesting that I talked about, you know, starting a study of the sutra, but it occurs to me that I haven't actually studied it at all. I've not gone through it line by line and or trying to glean some sort of knowledge from it. I just sort of sat with it and tried to open up and just let it in. And as I said, it's become woven into my being somehow. That's the only way I can really think of describe it. It's a part of me, but I'm also a part of it. And it's just, it's in everything. Even when I'm not sitting with it or thinking about it, it came up in when we had our Zoom retreat. I had I don't know if I should call it a mantra, but a little phrase that just kept coming up over and over again. And it is, I am even this. And then every time that comes up, I would find myself asking, well, what is this? And then as soon as I say this, or as soon as I think that or utter that, this is gone. And it would come up again, and then it's gone again. And it occurred to me during that retreat that there really is no past and there's no future. There's no thing other than here, than this. But then here and this is gone. It's only here with us for just that instant. And I remember thinking and writing down after that retreat that it feels to me like we are born and we also die in each and every instant. And it's kind of funny to me. If that's the case, it kind of seems silly to try to hold on to anything that we really think we know. And then reflecting on here recently, I have to say that the last few weeks have felt very dreamlike to me, might be the way to describe it. I feel as if there's a very thin film, maybe, between waking and sleeping. But it's interesting because I'm finding myself, rather than taking on each and every thought, emotion, and difficulty sort of head on, trying to fix it or solve it or even trying to figure it out, I have this feeling of approaching things from sideways, might be the way to describe it, more indirectly. And it kind of occurs to me, it's sort of like you would a koan, or how I've approached the sutra, you know, not really dwelling on it, not trying to figure it out, but just letting it be and letting it sit within me, and kind of we keep each other company. And I'm finding that it's much easier these days to step both out and into this crazy world we live in when you're at peace within and without, you know, with all things. And in spite of all this craziness going on, I just find myself sitting these days and just recognizing that I really am okay. And that's a strange strange thing for me to think, that how could you be okay at this time and with all that we have going on. But I can honestly say that I am, that that's where I am. So that's really all I have.